morning and welcome to HR Examiner Radio. Today we're doing an executive conversation with Stephen Millard, who is the senior product marketing guy at a company called Optimize in St. Paul, Minnesota. How are you, Stephen?
I'm good. Thanks, John. I'm very good. Happy to be here with you.
Yeah, this is great. So it turns out we know a lot about St. Paul, Minnesota, which is I have to tell you as a Californian that it doesn't have to be like that, Stephen. You can, there are places where snow comes to visit every decade or so.
That would be nice. Yes, we have snow come to visit, and it decides to stick around sometimes much longer than some of us residents want.
So why don't you take a minute and introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. So as you said, John, I'm the senior product marketing person at Optimize. And, you know, I kind of got here through a series of years of working in human resources technology. And kind of a funny story about myself that started my career out is the idea of how simple things can have very big consequences once in a while. Years ago, I worked at Ceridian Corporation. I'm sure many of your listeners will know who they are. And in working at Ceridian Corporation doing networking, Ceridian had bought Centerfile, which was a division of National Westminster Bank and did payroll services in the UK. And I was sent over there to help them set up the network. And basically, when we bought the company, I was transferring all of the information and so forth from Centerfile's network to our network in Ceridian. One day I was sitting in the operations center of Centerfile, or of National Westminster Bank, who owns Centerfile, and NatWest Bank is one of the largest banks in all of the UK. I was sitting in there, and I had to type in a command to separate some parts of the network. And I typed it in just slightly wrong. And in so doing, I shut down the backbone and most of the network for all of the bank. And it was one of those moments where you realize, oh God, what did I just type in? And all the lights go on in the network operations center, and everybody's heads turns and stares at you, and you realize you've just shut down one of the UK's largest banks without intending to. So that was sort of the point at which I realized maybe I didn't want to be in networking for the entirety of my career, and I slowly, through a couple of progressions, decided I'd go over into the enterprise application side and get involved more in the marketing side of it, which was a lot more fun. And I moved through a series of companies, many of whom your customers will know, companies like Kronos, companies that you have had probably conversations with yourself, and then was an analyst for a little while, and then came back and worked from the HR side to something quite close to it, which is where I am now at Optimize, which is in sales performance management or sales operation software.
Well, that's a mouthful. So what is sales performance optimization software?
Well, often called sales performance management. It is software or a segment of the sales application space, which focuses in on how do you help companies improve Salesforce performance. And so, you know, often the most common thing everybody thinks about when you do that is sales compensation and its related areas, things like territory management, quota management, how do those things go together and how they differ somewhat and are different from standard compensation management, which is something that, you know, oftentimes the HR organization deals with. Because the sales force is a bit of a unique animal, you know, how it's incented and how it's paid and what are its objectives are different than those of many other parts of most organizations. And since they are the revenue engine for companies, it's pretty important that you get it right.
That's what's interesting to me about this problem is sales compensation is generally the only part of compensation that doesn't happen in HR. And it's like the salespeople don't want the HR people to screw up the compensation. Is that the dynamic?
Well, I think it's that it's as much as anything, it's that sales compensation is many times more complex oftentimes than standard compensation software. having worked on both sides, I would in no way say standard enterprise compensation is simple. But when you're at these big companies, the challenge that you often see is you see companies with several product lines. Each product line has, hundreds of products with different commissions tied to them and across geographies. And when you combine all of that and all of the other elements that go into sales compensation, you end up with a sufficiently more complicated problem that you need a specialized group to make sure it happens right and to make sure that you figure out, how are you going to align your sales compensation to your company goals and what does that operationally really mean when it boils down to building a sales compensation plan and then updating it as your sales strategy evolves.
One of the things that I think is kind of common as a problem set in sales compensation is discovering 6 months after the compensation strategy has been laid out and read to the sales force that you're incenting the wrong thing. So does the product that you represent have some way of helping you see that? Right. If we do the following, if we pull the following levers, this is what's going to fall out of the chute.
Yes, to a degree, it does have that ability. So one of the things that you often want to try to figure out is how do you effectively model the sales compensation that you're going to implement? And we have both the people with the knowledge to do this and the basic technology tools to be able to sit down with you and say, okay, what is actually going this model going to look like? And then start plugging in some real numbers based on historical data. And a lot of times one of the biggest problems inside of organizations is they don't have good data. You can ask the question, but if you can't get good data, you're going to not get at least not a very complete answer and quite possibly the wrong answer. And so we spend a lot of time making sure organizations understand the question they're asking, but also understand how the data is that they need to have inside their model so that when they get the answers, they're accurate. And that's one of the things we spend a fair amount of time doing is helping organizations figure out, okay, this is what you want to incent. Here is what that actually would mean. And here is the actual correct data, all organized and normalized for you, plugged into your model with the answers to your questions. And that's definitely a part of what we do. It's often called sales comp planning.
It's unusual to have a SaaS, a cloud-based software company that does that additional step of planning. Most clients like we've got a Salesforce account and chasing down a customer service rep for Salesforce is a ludicrous proposition.
There are vendors for whom that's the case,
right? And so I'm delighted because I think the big word in software as a service is service. And service tends to be something that only people can do. I'm delighted to hear that Optimize has a service component. That clearly indicates that you're not venture-backed. The venture investor can't tolerate the labor costs associated with consulting, which is why the big SaaS companies don't often have this stuff. It must be kind of an interesting position for you to be in because you've been an HR tech analyst. You understand how the businesses operate. And
I do.
And I'd love to get your take on whether you think that this model where you have service embedded in the product, it's part of the deal, or the more Spartan model where here's the software, go figure out what you need to do yourself works. How do you see the difference between those things?
I think a lot of the difference is like so many things. It's a bit of a continuum. So, I think there are situations and companies which have simple enough processes, and they are, their models are fairly straightforward, where some of these kinds of sales operations tools can in fact work, and where they, you know, they've spent the time to staff correctly. But I think when you get into larger and larger companies where you get some really complex dynamics going in sales operations specifically, these problems become unsolvable by just handing somebody a tool. And the challenge that we see in over and over when we talk to clients is exactly this, that, you know, they come into the problem trying to solve one part of it, and it's sort of like you'd imagine, you pull a thread on one part of a problem and a whole bunch of other things start to come unraveled. And you have to actually answer the questions, you have to get into the weeds and figure out, okay, you know, how do we solve some of these very thorny and deep problems that have to do with the core process, like bad data or dealing with constant change, like companies that do mergers and acquisitions, and now, you know, your sales force literally adds entire new divisions, entire new systems 3 and 4 times a year. And so you can't just, you know, have a tool and say, great, go. You need people who have years of expertise that sit down and help you map out how to solve these problems, how to solve them operationally, how to solve them at a planning level. And that's where we find our sweet spot is there are, you know, a lot of really large organizations with complex sales organizations tied to them. And the problems that they face are not simple. And they make, their huge impact on the organization because they are the revenue engine for the company. So it makes a huge difference that you get it right. And so that's where I think companies like ours are going to be really helpful is, you know, you can go after a percentage of the market that understands how to implement a fairly simple process, but there is a significant percentage of the market as you go up to larger organizations where these problems aren't simple. And the things you need are not just tools. You need knowledge. You need a good engagement model. You need the ability to apply that technology in an intelligent way to actually solve the problem. And so the classic SaaS model falls apart once you get upstream to those kinds of organizations and those kinds of business problems.
Yeah, sometimes I think the SaaS model falls apart when you get up to 2 or 3 people in the company. So
I was trying to be, you know, fair, considering SaaS software doesn't seem to be going anywhere. But
right.
Yeah.
So who's the target customer for this?
Well, the target customer generally ends up being companies that have a couple of traits. One is they have a fair number of salespeople inside their organization. So, you know, a couple, 300-400 salespeople generally is a good example. And the other thing is that they have a somewhat complex sales model. So if you think of or product and sales model. So if you think of companies in the pharmaceutical business or you think of companies in the life sciences business more generally as a good example, you know, their product sets are pretty diverse, pretty complex, and they're also pretty high value. So companies like this that have a sales operations function that has to handle a large number of salespeople, a fairly complex product set, sometimes high transaction volumes, and their business model can also be kind of complex. Like I mentioned, oftentimes we do really well with companies who come to us and say, you know, we grow through acquisition. We have 4 or 5 acquisitions in a given year, and our sales operations function needs to handle all of those acquisitions in a timely manner. So that's often the most the customers that we have the most success in delivering the highest degree of value for them.
Great. So let's talk about your job.
Sure.
What is it that you do?
Well, as you said at the beginning, I'm product marketing. So a lot of what I do is the messaging and understanding how to describe what it is that we do for people. So what are the key elements of what we do, and how to describe both the expertise that we have and the kinds of tools that we have as a company in the cloud application space, and helping both our marketing and sales organization message that effectively out to the market so that when people come to us and they look at what we have, they can have a clear understanding for what kinds of solutions we offer, what kinds of problems we can help solve for what industries, and you know, how to engage with us.
So in a company that has a product marketing person, then what you do is you create the story and the marketing department tells it. Is that a good way of describing this?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Okay, so how is it that you become expert at that? That's harder than it sounds.
It is, yes. A lot of practice, like anything, right? I forget who said something like 10,000 hours at any given discipline and you start to get good at it. And I've just spent years doing this. And as you said, I spent time as an analyst, so I've heard a lot of pitches, right? Much like you, I've sat and listened to a great many pitches, and I internalized some of the traits of the best of those. And having done this for, about 12 to 15 years now, I've started to pick up how you do it and what are the key elements to make it successful.
Does Optimize have a product management function as well?
Like I said, we have enterprise cloud apps. So we have a formal product management and product development organization alongside our consulting business.
How do product marketing and product management interact at Optimize?
Well, I would say product marketing is responsible for telling the story, like you say, or explaining what the solutions will do and messaging them correctly to the market and providing the go-to-market strategy. So who are you going to target? How are you going to target them? What are you going to, what kind of materials are you going to provide them? And product management is responsible for what are those solutions going to look like and what is included within them. And we try to help product management in telling them what is the, what's the market? What is it that they want? What is it that they're asking for? So product marketing and product management work closely together because for them to be able to understand what is it that the solution should include and what kinds of capabilities are necessary in the product, they need help with from our side understanding, well, what's the market asking for and what is it that the solution needs to have as compared to other things that are on the market. So those two relationships or those relationships are very necessary to one another. We can't market what we don't have, and they can't build what they don't know.
Got it. So what does a day look like? That sounds like a huge puzzle that would be very challenging to figure out. How do you chip away at that every day?
Well, I think much like most jobs, you kind of parse it out into a set of day-to-day tasks that are pretty doable. I spent a lot of my time sitting down and refining the message. So, I talk to the different stakeholders inside my organization from sales to marketing to product management and find out, what directions they're going and how does our story look now and what are we saying and what's working and what's not. And as I get those conversations on a daily basis, I look at the different elements of our messaging and our go-to-market plan, and I try to refine them in, turning the different levers that you have from refining the actual messaging that you write to having conversations with various people about how are we going to market and how could we do it a little better or how could we market and to be clearer to people, what kinds of expertise should we offer so that people can understand the nature of the business problem that they face. So, it's you go at it a little bit at a time each day, but you do a lot of it by talking to your stakeholders that are, that have the information you need in order to figure out what dial it is you need to turn in that given week in order to try to keep the company becoming, more successful and more effective in its market.
I assume that in a company like this, as you get deeper and deeper into the market and better at serving it, that you start to unearth opportunities and ideas and problems to be solved that you can't see unless you're deep into the heart of the work. And so that leads me to to what does a roadmap for a company like Optimize look like? What are the horizons that are coming up?
Well, I think they kind of go in two directions in a lot of ways. One is, if you look at the core of what we do in sales operations, it's extending to the adjacent processes. So setting up compensation or running compensation means also running a lot of the adjacent processes, right? Quotas and territories, but also running the different elements of not just executing it, but planning it. So there's a lot of saying, okay, well, if you're going to run it, you need to also manage all the planning if you can, because there is, you know, no operation is very effective if it doesn't have a good plan. So we try to take a look at the life cycle of a given process and say, you know, are we effectively doing all of the things we can do in the life cycle of a process like sales compensation or quotas or territory management? And then the other dimension that comes into play are, what are the adjacent kinds of processes? So when you look at things like comp and quotas and territories, you run into things like saying, well, yeah, but people also have objectives in sales that aren't quantitative. You know, they're trying to become better experts at what they need to do and enable themselves more effectively, which is sometimes called sales enablement. So we look at technologies and expertise that we have in those areas, and we extend those kind of logically. We say, well, you know, if you look at sales and you look at the kinds of things that they need to do to be effective, you need to understand how to incent them in a monetary level, but also non-monetary. You need to have, you know, better performance management methodologies, better ways of tracking what it is that they're doing. And then looking at other areas beyond people that are, you know, closely related. And these elements include things like opportunity management, Salesforce automation, and being able to take both of those dimensions, and you build out a roadmap. You say, okay, well, you know, we're really good all the way through the planning stage. We need to do better, per se, at maybe analytics. That's extending a given process and being better at it. Or the other dimension of saying, well, you know, we can really do better at helping people in an adjacent process like social performance management, and saying, you know what, we can create incentives other than simple monetary ones, but non-monetary ones that would also be a part of, you know, sales performance, that would help people to be recognized, to be rewarded in ways that are more complex, and oftentimes people individually enjoy a great deal. They like recognition. All of us do. So we look at adjacent processes, and we look at making sure that in any given process we do all of the elements we need to in order to be effective, and that lets us achieve our mission. And our mission is really helping organizations be more effective at their, you know, at their sales function. How do you create better sales outcomes?
That's really interesting. So maybe as the last question, it seems to me that you'd have you're in a remarkable position to compare and contrast performance management approaches in sales and non-sales. And you know, the performance management is one of the hot topics in the industry these days. Mm-hmm. How's it different in the sales world, and is it changing in the same way that it's changing in the rest of the arena?
I think so. I think so. I think it, you know, the, like I said, I think that one, there are elements that are consistent, namely, you know, incentive compensation is something that's not going anywhere because it makes sense and it works. But there are other things that are making their way through the sales organizations, much like they are the rest of the organization, which is, you know, performance management generally doesn't work that effectively if you're just doing it once a year. You need to be able to recognize people. You need to be able to understand what their motivations are and what's doing well and what's not doing well in a very much a real-time fashion. And so when we look at the organizations that we talk to, you know, there is this need to be able to say, okay, performance management needs to be very real time across the board. So companies often struggle with the basics of it. That is to say, making sure that salespeople have the right information to know, you know what, you did this and you got paid on this, and therefore they see the direct association between the right sales and the outcomes that they themselves want to make their lives better. But then beyond that, you know, how do you install gamification ideas into it, right? So a lot, you know, salespeople are naturally competitive. So you want to start getting these real-time feedback mechanisms through things like gamification heavily involved inside of performance management. And then involving other things like badges and recognition so that people can see in real time what are their peers doing, what's working, what's not working. And that's something that we're getting ourselves more and more involved in is, you know, what's a more holistic approach to this and what's working in other spaces and how can we bring it to the sales arena?
Fascinating. You must have a great time at this job.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. It's a really interesting element of performance because, you know, sales is what drives a company's revenue.
That's right. So is there something that I should have asked you that I didn't get to?
Well, I think that, you know, I would just probably reiterate mostly the fact that it isn't just a technology problem. A lot of people look at this and say, you know, how do you do this better, faster? And the answer is it's not a technology problem in a lot of ways. It's a problem of process and people having the right capabilities. And I think that's what's important to think about when you come at these enterprise-level performance challenges is not to kind of just simply look at them as technology problems that are there to, you know, automate what you have faster, better, but to ask the bigger questions about, you know, have you got the people oriented in the right way? Do you have the right kinds of process working in order to give you the outcomes you want? And that's something that I think we both agree doesn't get addressed as much as it should in a lot of the SaaS businesses that are out there today.
That's right. So if somebody in the audience wants to get a hold of you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, you'd probably most easily reach me through email. I'm kind of like everybody else in the Generation X world. I probably track email most closely, if anything. So you'd probably send me an email at my last name, spelled Millard, M-I-L-L-A-R-D, at optimize.com. And optimize is optymyze.com.
So I want to take a moment to thank you for doing this, Stephen. It was a great conversation, and I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to help people understand what you're doing.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate your allowing me to come on your show and to explain what a day in my life looks like and hopefully provide people some information that can be useful to them when they look at their sales organization and what might they be able to do better.
We've been talking with Stephen Millard, who is the senior product marketing person at Optimize in St. Paul, Minnesota. If you roll the tape back just a hair, you'll get his email address. You might want to get in touch with him. Thanks for taking the time to do this again, Stephen. And thanks, everybody, for listening in. This has been HR Examiner's Executive Conversations. Bye-bye now. Have a great weekend.